VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. There are so many issues, multiple issues that are confronting us all at the same time, making it seem as if each day is more contentious than the day previous. Look what's going on in Louisville. We're within minutes of a grand jury decision concerning their conclusions following the death of Breonna Taylor. I mean, we have a U-Haul pulling up, distributing protest materials. The uprising was planned. Looking across the nation, we see the violence in the streets, agitators hard at work, political rhetoric that's increasing in its intensity, and the list goes on. And in so many of these places, folks, again, it just so happened that pallets of bricks had been dropped off. All this while there's been a vacancy opening on the United States Supreme Court, where it is said by Democratic leadership that nothing is off the table. Folks, who are in the battle of the century right now. This coming Saturday, President Trump will be naming his nominee to the bench. In addition, we are less than 6 weeks away from a national election with concerns about widespread voter fraud. But while the drama continues to build, the call for prayer is essential. And again, we remind you about the necessity of praying for our nation, praying daily for this upcoming election as well. But we're going to tie so many of these issues here together, and our topics of discussion today is our privilege to have back Robert Knight. Bob is a former Los Angeles Times news editor and writer, was a media fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He's a regular weekly columnist for the Washington Times, Townhall.com, OneNewsNow.com, and others. Robert's had senior positions at the American Civil Rights Union, the Family Research Council, the Culture and Family Institute at Concerned Women for America, Heritage Foundation, Coral Ridge Ministries, Media Research Center. He's co-authored a number of books, Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, and certainly Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. Thank you for joining us here, Bob, today here on Crosstalk.
Always a pleasure to be on Crosstalk with you, Jim.
Yesterday, we interviewed Lori Higgins from Illinois Family Institute on the color revolution. And, Bob, perhaps we can first obtain your comments by what we see happening in the cities and streets across this nation with riots, lootings, burnings, violence. As I mentioned just minutes after this grand jury decision, we have demonstrators in the streets and a U-Haul pulling up, handing out all the materials, already packed, loaded, ready to distribute. Agitators then took to the streets chanting, "Burn it down, burn it down." And many wonder, Bob, what in the world's going on?
Well, you know, if the grand jury had decided that the officers should be hanged on the spot, that may be the only thing that would have prevented the violence that ensued right after the charges were announced against one officer, but not two others, in the mm-hmm. Breonna Taylor shooting. No, they were ready. They had been planning this. As you pointed out, they were set to go, and nothing would have dissuaded them, I don't believe, because they're using each of these incidents as an excuse to foment violence, to try to create a state of constant anarchy. And I believe they believe that somehow this will help get rid of President Trump, that it'll be all his fault, and the media will blame him, and of course they have.
Yes.
I don't think it sticks, though. I don't think the person in the street blames President Trump for this.
Mm-hmm.
They see this violence in Democrat-run cities, Democrat-run states, that these aren't young Republicans out there breaking windows and setting police cars on fire. I mean, these are hard leftist agitators. And I'm amused at the media still insisting that these are mostly peaceful protests.
Yeah.
I've got a case in point. This is Thursday, September 24th, Washington Post. The headline is "Protesters Head Downtown After Decision in Taylor Case." This was an action in the District of Columbia. Here's the subhead: "March is largely peaceful." And then you read down, about 200 people were marching through an area. And then they say again, the demonstration was mostly peaceful. And then you read, "Broke windows, set off firecrackers, beat on traffic signs, flash bright lights in upper floors of apartment buildings, broke windows of a bank and other businesses, toppled newspaper boxes, came through a restaurant district, overturned chairs, and banged on tables. Now, if that's what passes for peacefulness, I don't think most people would agree with their definition.
No, and I mean, we've seen the CNN reporter saying this is mostly peaceful protest. Well, you look behind them and you see flames pouring out from either vehicles set aflame or trash dumpsters or businesses themselves.
Yeah. This is like the old Grouch, it was Chico Marx, I guess, when he was caught in a movie cheating on his wife, and he tells his wife, "You're going to believe me or your own eyes?"
Yeah.
This is one of those instances.
Bob, what about the media's culpability in all of this? We're just kind of commenting on this, but we'll be talking later about the election itself. But when you have the likes of CNN anchor Don Lemon talking with Chris Cuomo saying we're going to have to blow up the entire system, you know, if we take control of what the branches of government, he said we're going to have to get rid of the Electoral College because the minority in this country get to decide who our judges and who our president is. Is that fair, he asked. I mean, when he talks about blowing up the entire system, that just adds fuel to the fire here.
Oh, it does. And, you know, they're always criticizing conservatives, saying that your rhetoric is hateful and it could lead to violence against people, like especially LGBTQ people and that sort of thing. And meanwhile, they're actually urging violent protests. They're actually cheering it on. I mean, the hypocrisy is stunning. And I as a journalist myself, I'm appalled at their joining the mob violence bandwagon. And instead of reporting truthfully, they're only reporting what seems to be guaranteed to encourage more division, more racial identity, more hatred, more rancor, and they're not reporting what the average American is really thinking. That's why I think they're in for a real surprise in November.
Well, speaking of the media, I've seen clip after clip, and we'll get to the election there, but clip after clip from various media sources who in 2016 were calling for the Senate, you must confirm the president's nominee to the Supreme Court in the election year. But now we've got a total flip by this media when it comes to the Senate taking the same action in 2020. Your thoughts on it, Bob?
Well, they're still sore that Senator McConnell didn't allow a vote in 2016 when President Obama nominated Merrick Garland, or is it Garland Merrick? I always get them backwards.
Merrick Garland.
I think it's Merrick. Merrick Garland? I had it right? Okay. Yeah, but, of course, you had a divided government at that point. And in the nation's history, there have been something like 18 instances in which the president's party has controlled the Senate, and in each instance, just before an election, the president's gone ahead and made a nominee. When there's division, that isn't the case. You don't see nominees sworn in by the opposite party. And so what they're saying is that what we said before, please ignore. Forget all the rhetoric about, oh, the president has every right to name his nominee and the election has nothing to do with it. Now they say, oh, no, the election has everything to do with it. We want the opportunity to see that Joe Biden appoints the nominee instead of Donald Trump. No, but we're at such a point of division in this country, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
And one sign of that is the lack of yard signs and bumper stickers, I've noticed. I just took a trip to Maine from Virginia over the last week, and I saw very few bumper stickers. I saw a lot of Trump signs in rural Maine and in rural Pennsylvania. But overall, I remember elections years past where there were, you know, tons of cars with bumper stickers and yard signs and all that kind of stuff. People are afraid to give their opinion anymore because they've divided us so much that they know that there'll be retribution. And, you know, at some point we have to come back together as a country. But I don't think the media are interested in helping that happen.
Robert Knight, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And Bob, I think we need to point out as well Justice Ginsburg herself, 2016. She said the Senate should hold confirmation hearings during an election year.
Yes, she did, and she's a beneficiary of a climate at the time of her nomination that was far more unified. You know, she was confirmed by a vote of 96-3, even though she came right out of the ACLU, was arguably a radical attorney, and yet the Congress or the Senate at the time, which had plenty of conservatives in it, said, no, the president has a right to appoint his nominee. But they don't see that this time around.
Yeah.
They think that anything Trump does is illegitimate, so they have to stop it by any means necessary.
No, I found it also interesting. I saw an article on LifeNews.com. They had a column there earlier this month in which they were referring to Ed Whelan's writing at National Review, reporting that Ginsburg had been an icon for the left for abortion rights groups. However, in this age of what's being declared as systemic racism, they point out that Ginsburg had hired only one black clerk out of more than 100 who had worked for her during 27 years on the Supreme Court. And then further, according to the U.S. Senate records from her confirmation, they point out that she didn't employ any black clerks or interns or secretaries during her 13 years on the circuit court in Washington, D.C., but this they're silent on.
Oh, of course they are. That interferes with the narrative that the Democrats and the progressive judges are always on the side of black Americans and other minorities. They actually do whatever they want to do. If she felt she could hire people who would forward her agenda and make it easier for her to bring her influence to bear on the court, that's what she did. But, you know, it's interesting to see that the idea of a quota system on the bench is still alive and well, though, because the minute Justice Ginsburg died, President Trump announced that he would make an appointee, and it would be a woman,
right,
probably.
Right.
He hedged his bet a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you have to ask, well, why does it have to be a woman? Just because a woman departed the bench, now you have to have a woman? I would have preferred that he'd said, I'm not going to take into account race, sex, anything but the qualifications of the nominee, make sure it's a solidly conservative, pro-Constitution jurist who will restore respect for the Constitution in this country. And then go ahead, he could appoint a woman, because there are many who could do just that. In fact, he's got some excellent nominees on his list that could fill that role. We'll see what he does.
Well, what do you see is at stake in this court nomination?
Well, this is huge because the liberals had controlled the court for decades, really, and supposedly we've had a conservative Supreme Court since Justice Gorsuch became the fifth conservative vote, but unfortunately we still don't have a conservative Supreme Court. Justice John Roberts has been very unreliable. He did an astonishing turnaround on the Obamacare case. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
Tortured logic he used. It's almost like somebody put a gun to his head, because he knows better. And some other cases. But we can talk more after the break, I guess.
Robert Knight, our guest here today on Crosstalk. I'm calling today's program A Nation at Risk, as we consider all that is going on, the upheaval, the chaos that's taking place. And folks, we're going to delve further into the Supreme Court nomination, as well as getting some of the latest information on vote fraud. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in Genesis 6, we read of the fountains of the great deep. What were these?
Chris, the Bible teaches that at the start of the flood, all the fountains of the great deep broke open. This triggered a chain reaction of events which inundated the earth. I think of these fountains as underwater volcanoes or perhaps seafloor vents where materials deep inside the earth rushed out. Today we find these seafloor vents, which bring up chemical-laden waters, quite unlike seawater, but all at superheated temperatures. It may be that during the flood, these vents brought up a great deal of water which had never been on the surface before, thus providing waters for the flood. This has all been the subject of research among creationist geologists. We're still working on it, but we do so from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Robert Knight is our guest here today, as he has been with many pro-family organizations. His background before that, a former Los Angeles Times news writer, and certainly talking about the issues that are going on in our nation as of right now, certainly the upheaval on streets across America. I mean, even last night we saw protesters get down into the interstate system in Milwaukee and shut down the highways, as they had in other cities as well. So much that was not, spontaneous. It was all planned. As a matter of fact, you saw the U-Hauls that were pulling up in Louisville in this regard. I'm personally convinced that no matter what the decision was going to come down from that grand jury, they were set to go with the protest. And indeed, they were carried out. We're talking now also about the Supreme Court as far as the vacancy that's taking place. Also, we'll be touching base on the voter fraud issue. But, Bob, as we were heading into that break, you were indicating that this is not a conservative court. Are not a majority of the justices on this court appointed by Republicans?
Well, they are, but that hasn't helped us in the past, I'm afraid, because there have been excellent Republican appointees, almost no good Democrat appointees, but some of the Republican appointees have gone bad. For instance, President Eisenhower appointed John Brennan, who became the left-wing leader of the court, and Earl Warren. And the Warren court was famous for a lot of bizarre decisions that, among other things, loosened the laws against pornography and kind of opened that wide open. But this time around, we have Justice Neil Gorsuch, who is a very conservative judge otherwise, writing the opinion in the Bostock case, in which the court miraculously found in the Constitution civil rights protection for gender identity and sexual orientation, even though Congress had never authorized that.
And actually turned it away. I mean, they had opportunities to do so, but they didn't.
Yeah, over and over, because they said, well, this isn't what sex means in the Civil Rights Act of 1964, so we can't, you know, we'd have to add these categories as an addition to the law. They never did, so the court decided to do it on its own. It's stunning. The implications of this are enormous for Christians in particular, because if you uphold biblical morality regarding sexuality, you're now akin to a racist. You're a Jim Crow enforcer. I don't know if Justice Gorsuch really understood the consequences of what he did. But anyway, we have Justice Roberts voting weirdly in cases. We have Justice Gorsuch with that stunning reversal of logic and sanity. We have three reliably conservative judges, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and who was the third one?
Sorry, I lost my track there. So we had Thomas.
Yeah, I lost
Thomas,
my track. This is
Gorsuch and
no, I already
Alito.
Said Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Alito is great. Thomas is great. Well, let's move on, and we'll figure it out later. Because this shows that not just Joe Biden can have a moment, a lapsed moment of logic. So I can be guilty of that at times too. My point is that I think the president will appoint a conservative, and I think that'll move the court far toward a conservative majority. Even if Justice Roberts has become the swing vote, we'd still have five justices who are fairly reliable. He could be six in many cases. He has ruled, I think, correctly in a lot of cases about property rights and so forth. So no wonder the left is hysterical over this appointment. It was Kavanaugh. That's the one I couldn't remember, and I was just about to bring him up as an example of what they're going to do to the next nominee. Justice Kavanaugh anybody who watched that spectacle on Capitol Hill has to be ashamed of at least some of the senators, including Kamala Harris, who basically said, accused him of rape. And
She's going to be leading the fight in this. She's the one who's going to lead the Senate in opposition.
Yeah, yeah. I She's a piece of work. She comes out of a Marxist background in Northern California. Most people don't know that. Her father was a socialist professor. The Democrats have gotten extremely left-wing and radical in recent years. That wasn't always the case. I mean, there are liberals and conservatives, but right now we have a party that's under the thumb of the Marxist wing, led by Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of Brooklyn, New York, who's 30 years old now. And they basically are peddling what you can describe as communism. It's severe income redistribution, huge increase in government control, attacks on religious liberty. If, as I said in my book, Liberty on the Brink, if they get control of all three branches, and in the coming communist wave, I can't overemphasize the gravity here, Jim.
Yeah.
I don't want to scare people, but we're looking at the end of the republic as we know it, because the left would consolidate power. They are talking about packing the Supreme Court, ending the Electoral College, getting rid of all restraints on vote fraud. I mean, they're already trying to undo voter ID laws, and they've initiated same-day voter registration. They want national ballot harvesting. That's probably the most dangerous, and that has been introduced in California and several other states, and it just means that absentee ballots can be collected and turned in by people other than relatives.
Yeah.
So you can imagine a union goon going, you know, from door to door saying, hey, you got your ballot? I want to see that. All right, this is how you fill it out. And by the way, I'll take it with me, and I'll turn it in for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that eliminates the idea of the secret vote, which is a sacred right we have, the Australian ballot, they call it, where you can go into the voting booth and nobody can tell you what to do.
Well, let me ask you this. I want to ask you this, Bob, because you were with us. We did a full program on vote fraud, but several weeks back, has anything happened in these last multiple weeks that has either alleviated your concern or heightened your concern?
Oh, it's heightened my concern because the federal judges are running amok, striking down voter ID laws. They're talking about extending the counting of ballots.
Yep.
And Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which is dominated by Democrats, said you could, let's see if I can find this.
Well, they've got a 3-day extension past Election Day to count mail-in ballots. And then, Bob, just this week here in our state, Wisconsin, we had a federal judge rule that as long as ballots are postmarked by Election Day, they will count as long as they receive 6 days following the election. I mean, this is just ripe for fraud.
Oh, it is. It is. And, you know, it's no coincidence that Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are swing states. You also have Michigan, where the, I'm reading from a Wall Street Journal editorial. Another day, another judge unilaterally revises election rules. Michigan law says absentee votes are due by 8 p.m. on November 3rd. But a state judge just ordered that they tally ballots that arrive up to 14 days later. That's 2 weeks after the election.
14 days.
14 days. If they're postmarked by November 2nd, but, you know.
Well, and we know that the post office does not always put a postmark on the envelopes. I mean, they've admitted to that. And so then we're going to have the battles ensue saying, well, do we count these ballots? They don't have a postmark. We can't throw them out. Every vote must count.
That's right. That's right. Plus, I just read another piece about how ballots were found. I think it was Wisconsin. I got to make sure. But in a ditch, there was a bag of mail thrown into a ditch, and some of it contained mail-in ballots. So, but don't quote me on that, because I know it happened, but I can't remember which state it was. But you know, there are obvious problems with all mail-in balloting. Absentee balloting is different because you request a ballot, you sign for it, and they can compare signatures. But if you just mail in ballots to everybody who's on the voter registration lists, a lot of them are going to go to houses where people have moved, or they passed on or whatever, and be able to ensure their validity.
Let me put in another very alarming fact here from the Daily Signal. They're reporting that in 378 counties across the United States that voter registration numbers exceed 100% of the eligible voters.
Yeah, that I was just going to get around to that the voter registration lists are compromised because in Democrat jurisdictions, they're not cleaning them up as required by law. The National Voting Registration Act, which was passed with bipartisan majorities, dictates that you have to clean up your voter rolls and keep them clean. And the 2005 Commission on Elections, chaired by Jimmy Carter and James Baker, one a Democrat and a Republican, said two things. One, that it's essential to keep voter rolls clean, and two, the easiest way to commit fraud is by mail-in balloting.
Yep.
But that seems to have been forgotten here.
Yeah, again, folks, mail-in balloting, that's different from absentee voting. Absentee voting, that's when you contact your clerk or your election commission saying, I'm not going to be at the polls on the election day. Please send me a ballot. You fill it out. You return it. Okay? That's absentee voting. The mail-in balloting or voting is when they just arbitrarily send to every registered voter and then some the ballots and whether people have moved, whether people have deceased. Like I say, folks, it's pretty alarming. In 378 counties across the United States, the Daily Signal reported voter registration numbers exceed 100% of the eligible voters. Bob, where are those ballots going then? I mean, that's why there's great cause for concern.
Yeah, there is. And boy, I think that's the tip of the iceberg. That's just the ones they know about. When I was with the American Civil Rights Union, we did a study of Philadelphia and found that the voting rolls contained people who were born 150 years ago.
Right.
And the records further indicated that they'd voted in the last two elections. And there were dozens of names like that.
Hmm.
And the same for Allegheny County on the other end of the state. And I'm thinking that's a microcosm of what we're up against. The ACLU also sued Broward County, Florida, which is a key county, because that's where the election was decided in 2000. Broward and Palm Beach had the disputed ballots with the hanging chads on them. And Broward, to this day, had I don't know whether they've cleaned it up yet or not. They had 103% of eligible voters registered to vote. Think about that.
Hmm.
You know, a high percentage would be maybe 80%, but
mm-hmm.
when you got over 100%, clearly there are people who are ineligible on those voter rolls. And they dug in their heels. I remember sitting across the table from a guy from the SEIU, which is the Service Employees International Union, a hard left union, and Project Acorn, Project Vote, which is an offshoot of Acorn, President Obama's old organization, and the Broward County officials, and they all stuck together and said, "We're not going to clean up the rolls." Tough.
Yeah. Same thing in our state. They've been ordered to clean them up, and they've thumbed their nose at the ruling. We're going to be back in just a minute here with Robert Knight and talk a little bit further about this matter of voter fraud. We'll also have time to be taking your calls here as we open lines here in a short time as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, this is just the sampling of what our guest writes on a regular basis as he puts out columns. Robert Knight is our guest. And Robert, I know for our listeners who'd like to receive your columns to their in-basket and email, you have a way for them to get your columns. Is that correct?
Yes, it's really easy. You just go to the website, roberthknight.com, and you can go to the store there to see the books, but you can also send me an email through that to ask me to send you the column at no charge every week, once a week, or you can email me directly. I've gotten a lot of those at robertknight4@gmail.com. So the first one's the website, roberthknight.com, and the second is my actual email address, robertknight4@gmail.com.
Okay,
I welcome your listeners have been amazing. Last time I was on, I added maybe 20 or 30 people to my list.
And that's numeric 4, is that correct? Robert Knight 4?
That's numerical. Yes, mm-hmm. It is. It's a number, not spelling it out.
Okay, again, folks, all you got to do is drop him an email. You can do it through the website. We'll give you that, too, because we're going to talk about a couple of books he's got there. But Robert Knight, and then number 4, and Knight is spelled with a K. Robert Knight with a K, robertknight4@gmail.com. And you just put an email, said, send me your columns. He'll know exactly what that's about. Heard you on Crosstalk. Please send me your columns. Sign me up. It's free, and you can read those columns. Some of these, Bob, they go out to a number of publications here across America.
Well, they do. I'm sort of self-syndicated. They run after the Washington Times runs it. I wait a day, and then it goes up on Town Hall, One News Now, Daily Surge, a couple others. So it's great. Thank you for your help and help me get it out.
robertknight4@gmail.com. Just send an email. Say, please sign me up for your column. And folks, you'll stay informed on issues that you'll not get from other locations. robertknight4@gmail.com. In addition, you have at roberthknight.com, your website, roberthknight.com. You click on store, and there's some great resources there as well on some of the very topics we're talking about, whether it be that of vote fraud or socialism and so forth. You've got it all listed right there.
Yeah, I've been writing for some time now, so I think I have 10 books listed now,
mm-hmm.
Plus a law review article I wrote for Liberty Law Review about sexual orientation in the law, because people don't realize how radical that concept is. And for Christians in particular, I try to explain that the whole idea of sexual orientation militates against the gospel. Because the gospel is very simple. We're all sinners, and we need a savior.
Amen.
And the idea of sexual orientation is, well, you're born a certain way, you can't change, nothing you can do about it, so don't even bother. So it's a radical rebuke of the gospel itself.
Folks, you'll find books on the site like The Coming Communist Wave, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote, or What Happens if the Left Also, here's The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens if the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. You'll find Radical Rulers there, The Age of Consent, A Nation Worth Fighting For, and others. And I guess one of the things that caught my attention, Bob, every one of these books you've got reduced on your site right now, so our listeners will get a bargain.
Oh, yeah, these are paperback books. You know, The Coming Communist Wave is only 63 pages,
mm-hmm.
and I made it very concise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people don't want to plow through long books anymore, so I tried to give it to them in a very abbreviated fashion. Everything documented, though, and footnoted. Liberty on the Brink, 93 pages. So a couple people from listeners wrote in, got the books, and then came back for more.
Yeah.
I guess they wanted to pass them out to people who are arguing with them or something.
So check it out, folks, roberthknight.com. I'd like to move to Florida in our discussion, and that is Mike Bloomberg raising millions of dollars, it's being reported, paying the fines and the fees of thousands of convicts, some 32,000 convicts in Florida, so that they'll be able to vote. Have we ever seen this happen before?
No, we haven't. In fact, just fairly recently in Virginia, they restored the felon vote. But it's a little it's a little different. Nobody volunteered to pay the fines. You still have to go through your parole and pay any court costs or fines you owe, that sort of thing, to get right enough to vote. But in Florida, Bloomberg's doing it for them. And you have to wonder why he's doing it. Well, he's a hardcore Democrat now, and he's basically concluded that most felons are going to vote Democrat. You can ask why that's the case. I think it's pretty self-evident. They're all about redistributing income in one manner or another. So why not give them the vote?
Hmm. Let's open some phone lines here today. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We're talking voter fraud. We're talking Supreme Court vacancy. We're talking about uprisings on the streets. Nation at Risk, our title today. Robert Knight, our guest. Our number, 1-800-733-9829. Again, that's 1-800-733-9829. And coupled with all of this, as we look at this election, less than 6 weeks away from now, Bob, I mean, multiple news sources pointing out that the Biden campaign has formed this special litigation unit to contest these election results, whatever that's going to happen there. And you've got Hillary Clinton says, under no circumstances should you concede this election.
No, that's not a very public-spirited thing to say, because she's basically saying that you cannot trust United States elections anymore, and that if our candidate loses, we should, well, do what? Take to the streets? They're already doing that, but apparently she's imagining an uprising of sorts, and also endless litigation. I think that's why they're pushing this mail-in voting and the idea of counting ballots for days at a time after the election.
And they want to create and not have a Supreme Court justice there to have a 5-4 vote of any sort.
That's true. You know, I just saw an article today that said, well, President Trump ought to wait until after the election to appoint a judge because this issue works in his favor. It makes the stakes for the election higher if the judge seat is still outstanding. I disagree. I think he ought to do it while he can, and he probably will need the vote on the court when all hell breaks loose after the election, when they challenge votes in any state that's even close.
Our lines are packed here. Let's go to Hales Corners, Wisconsin. Lat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. What I don't understand is how we can, I need an ID to cash a check, I need an ID to do this and do this. How can we in the United States as conservatives, how can we possibly, can't we get it to the Supreme Court somehow where we have to, I mean, how can, it's so ridiculous that you don't show an ID. Can't we get a petition nationwide and force the courts to make them show an ID? And I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Lat. Bob?
Well, the Constitution gives the states the rights to determine the place and means of elections, so it's up to the states to require an ID. However, the exception would be a national election, and Congress could pass a law requiring voter ID in any election that involves national offices like Congress or the presidency. So they could do that. Of course, they're not going to do that now.
Yeah.
You know, Nancy Pelosi running the House, she's working against voter ID. The Democrats are working to loosen election safeguards everywhere they can, at the same time accusing Republicans of suppressing the vote, because after all, requiring an ID means that somehow minorities are incapable of getting it and therefore not voting, which I think is an extremely racist thing to say.
Sharon is calling next. Hi, Sharon, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call. I'm confused here. I actually worked for the Election Commission in Milwaukee many years ago, and at that time, felons couldn't vote. I don't know what changed, but, you know, even if Bloomberg is paying these fines, how are they able to vote? I mean, if you couldn't make good enough decisions, you know, to not be a felon, you're going to pick the president of the United States, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Great.
Thank you.
And Bob, I think this goes back to what you said just a moment ago, is that these voting laws vary from state to state. So states will have different rules as it relates to felons voting, when one becomes eligible again, or if, as you saw in, you know, certain states that they just say, okay, all felons can start voting.
Well, that's true. In fact, if you really want to take this further, and they do want to take it further, in Maine, my old state, felons in jail can vote. Okay? Think about that for a minute. I don't believe they're restricted in any way. So it varies wildly. You know, in Minnesota, in the election in 2006, when Al Franken just squeaked out a victory over Norm Coleman,
yes.
After many recounts and trunkfuls of ballots discovered and ballots judged differently with different criteria in counties, depending on whether the Democrats ran it or not, it was determined that more than 1,000 Democrat or felons illegally voted. A study showed that, and of course Franken won by 312 votes when they finally gave up recounting it.
Wow.
So you could say the felon vote put them over the top.
Let's go to Brent next. Hi, Brent, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Excuse me. Fellas, I know this is a bit off key. Perhaps you could help me, though. Could you explain to the people that are listening to your program, God bless you both for being there, by the way, and explain where the money is coming from for this Black Lives Matter and where the Democrats are being funded, and what about China? I'll hang up and let you fill it in.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. There's 2 hours of discussion, Bob.
Well, it is, but let's cut to the chase.
Mm-hmm.
Large foundations are funding Black Lives Matter, like the Ford Foundation, Carnegie. These began as conservative instruments of businessmen, but they were taken over by the left years ago, and the Rockefeller Foundation. They were taken over by the left, and they fund the most radical movements in America. You have to wonder what their motive is for doing that. I don't know, other than that they don't seem to think America's a unique and exceptional nation, and they seem to think that if there's enough chaos here, maybe we'll be cut down a peg and have to join under a globalist government. That sounds like a conspiracy theory, but when you look at what they're doing and why they're doing it, that sounds like an open conspiracy. There are multinational corporations that are funding a lot of this too. If you look at the Black Lives Matter sponsors, big corporations are giving them money.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't just George Soros, but Soros is culpable for a lot of radicalism in America. He funds virtually every left-wing radical Marxist group out there. If you want more information, I have a wonderful website you can access. It's Capital Research Center. And they keep track of all kinds of funding. But the other is discoverthenetworks.org, discoverthenetworks.org. I use it all the time. I think that, I see something funny, and I wonder, you know, what their connections are. I go right there, and you can click on them or do a search, and boom, you see all the connections.
Wow.
It was founded by David Horowitz, who is a former communist himself, who is now a conservative.
DiscoverTheNetworks.org. Let's be back in a minute here with more of your calls on Crosstalk. Robert Knight is our guest, and his website is RobertHKnight.com. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This past weekend, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who sat on the U.S. Supreme Court since the 90s, being appointed by President Bill Clinton, passed away. The Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, so we should not be celebrating her death. However, well, Fox News once again reveals that they are not a conservative network. One commentator after another, including Republicans, praised her for her service and her commitment to America. Yet, as we warned about her and her worldview when she was appointed by President Bill Clinton, she was a radical liberal, who actually worked with a communist front group. Roger Baldwin, a known communist, formed the ACLU. And in 1977, as an attorney for the ACLU, she argued for lowering the sex age limit to age 12. This is one of many things I could say about her.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, folks, if you'd like to receive Bob Knight's columns, you can just send him an email, robertknight4@gmail.com. robertknight4@gmail.com. So that's robertknight4@gmail.com. Just say, send me your columns. He'll know exactly what you're talking about. And again, his the store on his site that has books like The Coming Communist Wave and Liberty on the Brink, you'll find at his website, and that is roberthknight.com. Lines are packed here. Let's go to Olney, Illinois. George, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my comment. I was just going to say, it seems like we're not doing anything as far as punishing crime. And I know that the Russians are meddling, but so are the Democrats. Why can't somebody do something about, you know, open lawlessness?
Yeah.
I agree. We're seeing open lawlessness. In fact, I just read the Republican Senate report this morning on the Bidens and their many ties to communist China and to Ukraine. You know, if you look at all the, I mean, that could be a show in and of itself, so I won't belabor it, Jim, mm-hmm. but it's an amazing report, 87 pages, and we're talking millions of dollars, many companies, many dummy companies, communist-related companies in China. And this, I get the Washington Post every day, and this was buried on A3 with a short story about it. It even said that the evidence had turned up that Hunter Biden had paid women who were either allegedly in prostitution rings or sex trafficking rings. Now, wouldn't you think a news media would be interested in something that explosive?
Yeah. Like you said before,
nothing to see here, folks.
Yep, doesn't fit the narrative. Thank you for the call, George. And another issue in this, basically, as we've reported recently in this program, too, how George Soros has spent massive money, massive funds to influence district attorney races across this nation. So if you have liberal-leaning district attorneys in who will not prosecute for the violence that's taking place, that also just magnifies this whole situation as well. Thanks for the call. And sometimes, folks, and you know what? We have the attitude, I'm only voting in national elections. Those local elections, they really don't matter. But, Bob, we see the impact of district attorneys and city council members and school board seats where so many of these initiatives start.
They do, and it's they're all training grounds, even if you're only interested in national elections. You have to have candidates work their way up.
Yeah.
But these are important offices. You know, they affect how you live near your home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a great example, the district attorneys.
Yeah.
This was very strategic on Soros' part because he knows they'll be the ones to prosecute vote fraud or not,
mm-hmm.
Violence and mob actions or not. And we're seeing it all over the place where they're just releasing people and not charging them. He also spent millions on a Secretaries of State project. So he installed Democrat secretaries of state because he knows that they will be most involved in making sure the voting process is secure or not.
Marianne is our next caller. You're on the air, Marianne.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I live in the city of Milwaukee, and I'm one of those people that's getting massive mail.
Hello, Marianne. We lost Marianne, but the commenter says has been receiving many ballots. I would say that you're probably receiving applications for ballots because there are a number of people sending out applications, but not ballots themselves.
Or sample ballots. The parties send out sample ballots. They're not valid.
Byron is next. You're in the air, Byron.
I'm a meek, the meek shall inherit the earth, the Bible says, I know that right now that there's two forces in the world. There's the Democrats and the Republicans. And I believe that God has called the Republicans to be on his side, and the Democrats are on the Satan.
Well, okay. Thank you for your thoughts on that. I think you're going to find there's a lot of switcheroo going on there, but I put it this way. There are forces of evil and forces of good, and we are seeing this really is a spiritual battle that we see afoot here, Bob. That's my thought.
Yeah, I believe you're right, Jim. And, you know, this Saturday in Washington, D.C., Franklin Graham and other Christian leaders are leading a rally of praying for the nation,
yeah.
praying for the upcoming election, and I'm sure praying for peace in our streets as well.
Mm-hmm. Russell is next in Salina, Kansas. You're on the air, Russell.
Yes, I'm concerned mostly along with your topic today is, I believe it was Stalin's quote that he said he wasn't concerned about who voted and which way. He was concerned about who counted the vote.
Yeah.
One other comment I have is about Biden's mental state. It's being downplayed by the left, and I just thought, you know, the other day, what if he would accidentally slip up and concede that election? Can you imagine the rush to have him committed to an institution? I mean, I'd just love to see that happen. That's all I've got
okay.
to say. Thank
Russell,
you for your program.
Thank you for this. Bob, we need to point it out that these slips are taking place, and one of the stories I saw yesterday is the number of days at 12 noon, he's calling, I'm done for the day. I'm just done, you know, not taking anything more.
Yeah, they're having to keep him very quiet and away from the public because they know he's declining. It's sad, but it's a little scary, too, because it means that the election really is between President Trump and Kamala Harris, who would be the functioning president. If the Biden-Harris ticket wins. And if you look at how she treated Brett Kavanaugh in the hearings, you could see what she has in mind for the country.
Right.
If you disagree with her, watch out.
Tell you what, we are less than 30 seconds left in the program, and I apologize. I'm not able to take any further calls. Robert Knight is our guest here today. His website, roberthknight.com, roberthknight.com. You can click on store. You can look at his booklets there, but also you can send an email through his website or send an email directly to robertknight4@gmail.com and just ask to be signed up for his columns, and he'll be glad to do that. Bob, a lot going on. Certainly, our nation is at risk.
Yes, it is, and people really need to get off the couch and do something. You know, if you're worried about vote fraud, I would advise you to volunteer as a poll watcher, or better yet, work at the polls. My son and daughter are doing that. They think it's great fun, and they can keep an eye on things, and they get paid.
Huh. Bob, thanks for being with us. Stay on the line here, if you would, but appreciate all the information you've shared with our listeners today. Robert,
thanks, Jim, for having me on.
Robert Knight, our guest here today on Crosstalk, A Nation at Risk. Folks, let's continue in prayer. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.